Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a saucy TikTok star on the podcast to talk about how he gained millions of followers in a matter of months and why salt is your best friend. He is an entrepreneur, content creator, and the mastermind behind Salt Tank. It's Henry Laporte. Henry, welcome to Food Network Obsessed. Of course, most people know you by your online persona, Salt Hank. So let's start there. What is the story behind your name?
Yeah, absolutely. That was just kind of the first thing that I typed into TikTok username entry. And then I couldn't think of anything else after that. And it didn't seem like the worst name ever. It's two syllables. It's easy to remember. And it's got my name in it. So I stuck with it. And then I went viral. And I was like, okay, I can't change it now.
Well, now you can change it. You're stuck with it for forever now.
Exactly. And now it's like my actual name. Everybody calls me Salt. So I kind of like predetermined my future name forever by just like typing it into TikTok at one point.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, let's talk about TikTok because obviously, as you mentioned, you went viral there. What led up to like getting on the platform and deciding that you were going to be creating these videos? Because I know you graduated with a journalism degree and really tried your hand at a couple of things before landing where you are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TikTok specifically, I just noticed there was like an explosion of food stuff happening on there. And I'd always been obsessed with food content and food media and everything related to that on like YouTube and all the other platforms and obviously Food Network as well. But then it really started to sort of blow up on TikTok, and it wasn't really just like dancers or the type of stuff that was originally on there. The food scene was like exploding during COVID. So that's what made me sort of get on there. And it was sort of just like a natural fit. It felt easy-ish, and it was like really fun, and you know, such short videos, it's like not an insane amount of work or like a crazy barrier to entry. Like You're literally just filming yourself cook with your phone, and if you have some sort of basic knowledge of editing and kind of, you know, how to shoot, then it's pretty easy to throw together a video. And like you mentioned, I have a broadcast journalism degree, so I kind of grabbed a lot of that knowledge from there.
Do you remember like the first video that you did that like went really viral?
Yeah, I had COVID and I made Maddie Matheson's pozole recipe, and it I think got like 40,000 likes, and immediately I like quit my job.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I quit my job. Like, well, I just stopped working. I didn't quit. I just completely gave up on anything else. And that was, I was like, okay, we're in this now. This is all I care about. Cause it had been my dream for like years and years to be involved in food media. I still wasn't. And I was like, okay, if I could do it once, I could try and do it again. And worst case scenario, in 6 months, I'll have gotten nowhere and I'll give up, but I have to at least try. So I basically just gave up on everything else and started filming TikToks like every single day. And that's all I did for a while. And it worked out, luckily. Thank God.
It was a pretty good gamble on yourself, I'd say. I mean, I saw one video now has like over 70 million views, which is just bonkers. What do you think about your videos? Was it that kind of made them start to take off?
Yeah, that lamb burger went crazy. That actually, I think that sort of informed my decision making for like going viral after that. It was sort of a little bit of a formula in the beginning. And I don't know if people still notice, but all my videos start with building the sandwich. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the exact same entry point for every single video. It's like slapping food down on bread, crunchy bite, big crunchy bite, stupid comment by me, some like goofy thing I'll say. And then that just seemed to really, really work well in the beginning. And then, I don't know, maybe people got used to it. But for the first like couple months of that, it was they were getting like 10 to 20 million views like pretty frequently. So that little formula definitely was what really kind of changed the game for me. And yeah, that worked. I still use it to this day. But now I'm able to kind of branch out and do other stuff as well, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that the internet, specifically TikTok, kind of rewards that, not formulaic, but that kind of, you know, repetitive, you know, people know what they're getting and they're excited about what's coming? Why does that work so well?
Yeah, I think that could definitely be like a blessing and a curse, because you do sort of put yourself in a box when you're like so focused on the numbers and you know why you're getting those numbers. Like I was like, oh, I can only do this one thing, but it also is a blessing because you get really, really good at this like one specific thing that people are like in love with. And like for that, like I was able to just dial in this like formula like pretty perfectly to where I like, you know, my workflow was like I knew exactly how to do it and exactly how to film it. And I could kind of plan the shoots and just it was very efficient and it kind of all like made sense within those boundaries of like that formula. But then also like you become so obsessed with like going viral that you sort of are like, well, I don't even want to try and experiment with anything else. But then you're kind of forced to, because if you go viral a bunch of times, other people will start to do the same thing. And and then people, like I said, get used to it. And then you'll start to see comments of like, oh God, I hate this like style that everyone's doing. It's like the thing that you started is now like something that's just everywhere and people are so sick of it. And you're like, okay, it's time to drop that and move on to something else. But yeah, if you find like a niche or something that's really working for you, I think it's definitely worth kind of capitalizing on that.
Yeah. And speaking of that niche, like you've mentioned, it's the building of the sandwich. It's quick. It's heavy handed. You've got the saucy, the meaty, the natural sound, you know, your funny comments and everything. Was that kind of a premeditated approach or like you said, was it just kind of happened and you decided to run with it?
So I made a video of a vegetable tart one day and it was like, the video began with a big crunchy noise and me like eating the food. And that one did really well. And I was like, why did this do well? Like the rest of the video sucked, but the beginning had this like one specific thing. And I think it is that like crunch noise. And like that is such a good hook for some reason. Like people, I know I hate mukbangs personally, but I know people like the sound of like a big crunchy bite. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna like keep that in there. And then you just do that and you can combine different aspects of videos that do well, all, you know, kind of coming together, and then you figure out what that formula is. But I think it started with like me figuring out that big crunchy bite and then showing the actual final product in the beginning of the video and looping back to that at the end was kind of the hook. That was definitely like the main thing.
Have you had any moments where you had like a great idea and then you feel like it completely flopped or failed?
All the time. Yeah. I mean, it's still like a complete toss up what people are going to like. And TikTok's like always evolving and there's always new people on the platform and there's always new shticks and like new things that people are drawn to. So what used to be like clearly a viral video, now I have no idea how it's going to do. So I don't any specific example. It happens all the time, though. But yes, 1,000%.
We always see all the ones that do well, right? Not the ones that flop, I guess.
Right. No.
How would you describe, I guess, your approach to food and flavor overall?
I think it's pretty experimental. I try to be as much as possible. I don't really have any formal training. And so I didn't have any like habits going into like just learning how to cook and cooking now even. I'm sort of just like following my intuition. So I think it's I don't know, it's experimental. It doesn't really follow any like necessary like guidelines or traditional rules or conventional kind of what you'd expect from a chef, because I never actually was a chef. So that's sort of how I don't know. Honestly, I don't really have an approach. I think that's the problem with me trying to describe it, is I sort of just like throw shit on a sandwich and hope it tastes good.
I mean, it's working so far. I mean, like you said, sandwiches are kind of your bread and butter, so to speak, no pun intended. What is it about the sandwich, do you think, that is resonating with people so much?
I mean, everyone loves a good sandwich. There's few people who can't relate to like just like the perfect sandwich. And then it's also just a great canvas to build, you know, a meal on. And regardless of like what you're making, even if it's the most fancy, lavish thing of all time, you can still create a sandwich out of it. So it was just a great kind of blank drawing board for me to be able to sort of like, yeah, it is always a sandwich, but it's also like anything you could ever think of to cook, you can somehow, you know, like put in a sandwich.
Yeah, make it into a sandwich. Make any dish and throw it in between two pieces of bread and you've got a sandwich, right? What is the key to a perfect sandwich in your mind?
It can't be dry. It can't be overwhelmingly flavorful. Like, you got to have balanced flavor. It's, you know, follow the same rules as like normal just cooking in general. Like, the flavor profiles all have to fit within each other, like regardless of the fact that there are multiple layers. Like, you know, it's hard to describe, honestly, but
you just know when you see it.
Be dry. Yeah, you know when you see it. I also don't know how many rules there are in this. Like, I get yelled at every time I make a video because I've broken some rule that I wasn't aware of before. Like, I did a duck sandwich where I poured a bunch of cheese on top of the duck. I didn't know you weren't supposed to put cheese on duck before, but the sandwich itself was phenomenal. So I don't know if there are really any like big faux pas, like no situations in sandwiches. You know, it's worth trying. And if it sucks, then just don't do it again, I guess, is one rule.
Yeah. I feel like there's also no rules. You know, if it tastes good and you like it, like that's all that matters, right?
1,000%.
What is your favorite sandwich video to date that you've made?
Oh, that's a tough one. I love the Lamburger one, just because that kind of did put everything on the map a little bit. And the sandwich itself is so incredible. I think there are some that flew a little bit under the radar. The French dip, I'm going to go with that. Okay. That's like my favorite sandwich I've ever made. It's like the most extravagant one, I think, by far. You make like this crazy prime rib roast. You do a really nice like compound herb butter on the outside. And it's this huge, fancy like main course dish, prime rib roast. And then you make like an incredible au jus and put it all in a sandwich. And it's just such an incredible meal. So I think I'm going to go with that one. And also, I was able to pull off the production of the video really well, which sometimes you have an incredible idea and the food itself is so good. And then you just completely screw up the actual production of the video. And you have like, there's two components to it. And luckily for that one, the sandwich worked out. And so did the videography part of it. So I'd say this French dip sandwich for sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, clearly, if anybody's followed you or listening to you talk about, you know, some of these, you know, sandwiches and creations that you've made, it's not just making sandwiches, right? Like, you're cooking different components. You obviously know how to cook. Where did you learn how to cook? Or like you said, was it just all experimentation in the kitchen? Or was there somebody specific growing up that kind of inspired you?
Initially, definitely my parents. They, like a lot of people, I mean, were just such huge inspirations to me in the kitchen. They always had me like helping out and making sauces and roasts and stuff with them. So, you know, from the ages of like 7 to 15, 100% my parents. And then once I kind of got a hold of the internet and figured out I could learn from YouTube and stuff like that, all those guys like Babish, Maddie Matheson, Chef John, Joshua Weissman, obviously like a ton of those dudes just literally taught me how to cook. And so I have a ton of gratitude towards them, and they're like so inspirational too. And I still like, that's still how I'm teaching myself how to cook, is just going to any of their channels and looking for ideas or new techniques or ways to spin things. So those guys taught an entire generation how to cook. Honestly, I think like there's so many people that didn't go to culinary school or didn't work in kitchens that are still such incredible like home chefs that learn from the people on YouTube and beyond. So a lot from those guys for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that can be said for a lot of different things, right? Like YouTube has kind of opened up just a world for people to learn for free, you know? Yeah. And how do you approach that as somebody that's now, you know, I guess, teaching others to do the same?
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I'm like thrilled to be able to show people, I mean, like such little novelty things too, that are so easy to do that people don't really understand as much, like pickling or like making mayonnaise. It's like such a simple process. And then people like don't know, like I'll post a little tutorial about how to like pickle onions. People are like, oh my God, this is like the easiest thing that I would have never tried. So it's really an incredible thing to be able to like help people through certain things like that. And you just, you know, level people's cooking game up just like the smallest amount, just through like something as simple as mayonnaise, I think is really interesting, because those are the things I think that you can experiment with so much, because it's just one component and one ingredient, but there's a million ways to hack it. Like you could make any million variations of an aioli, but it's always the same. You just put eggs, oil, and some, you know, garlic and lemon and whatever else you want in a jar and blend it, and it turns into mayonnaise. So things like that really excite me, like being able to teach people, because that's when I think people will go out on their own and start to experiment beyond what you've kind of shown them, is when they have like something like a pickled onion recipe, and then they can throw whatever pickling spices they want in it, or they can make it spicier or sweeter or saltier or less briny or more briny, or mayonnaise, they can make it, you know, an aioli with duck fat, or they can just go out and kind of paint their own canvas, like I mentioned before. But so that type of stuff really excites me. Teaching people like the simple kind of basics and where to start on certain things is fun.
Do you hear back from people that have actually like tried or recreated any of your recipes and like their feedback? What's that like?
Yeah, it's really fun to go look at like who's reposting stuff and then like who's tagging you in their version of it. And honestly, I have kind of gotten my ass kicked on my own recipes so many times. I'm like, that looks 1,000 times better than what I made. But it's so, so cool to see people like thanking me for the recipe and then going on and making it like their own and making it better or doing like a different thing with it. It's really awesome. And I'm able to like kind of see it in my Instagram thing. It's like, oh, this person tagged you in one of your recipes. So I'm constantly scrolling through that and congratulating people and asking them how it was and stuff like that. It's awesome. It's really cool.
That's cool. Is there something that you like want to learn to cook or learn more about that you haven't yet?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to just get in the weeds with like more traditional cooking. I love like making Mexican food and making Asian food and just food from across the globe. But I want to go to these places and learn from, you know, the chefs who are doing it like in the most authentic way. I'm lucky enough, actually, next month I'm leaving for Oaxaca for like a month and a half, and I'm going to learn from Alejandro Ruiz, who's a just incredible, like legendary chef down there, how to make some like really traditional Oaxacan cuisine, like mole and stuff like that, you know, is famous now, but I think he helped bring it to the world. And I want to be able to do that with a lot of different types of food, because I've learned from the internet, but it's tough to know where they learned it from. You know, you want to get down to the roots of where it's really from. And it's cool to be able to do stuff like that now, because I'm kind of in the space. So now that I have the opportunity, I think I really need to take it, which is what I plan on doing. So very excited.
Yeah, no, that sounds
like
incredible.
That.
I'm sure you're going to be documenting the entire time there.
I'm going to have to try and figure out a balance of like helping them and him not being like, get that camera out of my fucking kitchen. Like, so we'll see how it goes. But the primary focus of the trip really is to learn.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and film as much as I can and bring as much content back to my audience as I possibly can. But I really do want to just go there and learn as much as possible.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Asia as well, and I know you spent some time there before the pandemic. What do you remember about just your food experiences while you were there?
Oh God. I mean, there was so much. That was such like an eye-opening experience. The whole trip was insane. I mean, I spent a lot of time in big cities where there'd be like, I'd just be eating street food. Every meal would be street food. And I was just like so thoroughly impressed with what dudes and anybody could do with like the minimal like equipment. Like they'd have like a trash can and like a grate, and like they'd live in like a corrugated shack on a corner, and then they'd come out and make like the world's best like barbecue chicken on like this like trash can fire, and there'd be like a line down the block. It was just like so incredible to see these people making like such incredible food. And then we went to the Mentawai Islands off like the west coast of Indonesia, and we lived really kind of deep in the jungle, and we'd be like spearing frogs and stuff for dinner, and they'd be making sambal, and just, and I couldn't believe how good all the food tasted. So that was an incredible experience. And I still don't really know how to make any of that stuff that well. I definitely want to plan on going back. That was more of like just kind of a go there and eat situation, but it's definitely like broadened my love for food into more than kind of what I had known from just eating here in America and stuff like that. So it's definitely an eye-opening experience.
What do you think your favorite bite and or destination was from that trip?
Vietnam. I was eating like 4 banh mi's a day when I was in Vietnam. I was just going crazy on banh mi's because every corner has one and they're like 50 cents. So wow. You can just go and eat a banh mi every like 20 feet. You're walking, you get like a banh mi and a beer, and that's just your entire day. And I was obsessed with like the pate. It was so good. They just would have it in this like big jug, and then just, it was ridiculous. Definitely banh mi's though. I was a big fan of that.
Where else do you find your inspiration for, you know, recipes, content, videos, etc.?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people on TikTok right now are really killing it. People are getting so creative just kind of based off of like necessity. I feel like there's so many people doing the same thing now that it's like so impressive what some of the people even just on TikTok are creating. And they're doing stuff that I don't think is done in kitchens, really. I think that a lot of people are still coming from that same background of like not having a ton of formal training. So they're just like making stuff up that sounds good in their brains and throwing it on the internet. So I think there's a ton of inspiration to be drawn from literally just like scrolling on food TikTok. I love watching, you know, guys like Owen Hahn or, you know, Golden Balance, Ahmad. Those guys are all just killing it, making such incredible food. So love watching my contemporaries just play around in the kitchen. They're such inspirational people, and I'm so proud of what they're doing too.
Yeah. And a lot of times you guys do, you know, collaborations together. I mean, how do you describe this, you know, online culinary community that's kind of blown up in the last couple of years?
It's amazing. I mean, I've heard that in previous generations, there's been competition or chefs didn't like each other, but the amount of camaraderie and just like how welcome I felt when I was kind of starting out, everybody's so incredibly nice. And encouraging of each other and just like stoked to see other people win. I haven't, you know, met one rude person or anything like that. Everybody's just like, you're killing it. Like, keep it up. Just keep doing your thing. Like, just so proud of each other. And there's so much encouragement. And it's all, I think, probably just coming from a place of like, we're all kind of in this together a little bit, and there's room for everybody, and everybody's adding their own sort of flavor. So it's really cool. And we all are actual genuine friends in real life now, which is really incredible. I've gotten to like chat with all these people who before I was successful in, by any means, were like kind of, you know, my heroes a little bit. I was like, these guys are killing it. Like all these girls and guys are just doing such incredible things. And now I'm able to like chat with them and have real, just like normal conversations with them. I just got to meet Babish this past weekend, which was like the most starstruck I've ever been in my entire life. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I'm like shaking right now, like a little kid, but it's so cool. And everyone's just incredibly nice. And it's really refreshing. And I'm very happy about it.
Coming up next, Henry talks about what it takes to develop a line of salts and gives us the scoop on his favorite Food Network shows.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I know you also have developed a line of salts that you sell online, which is obviously very on brand. What is the process of developing a product like?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of ups and downs. We're still, I think now we've kind of figured it out, but there was a lot of like learning moments for sure. I tried to kind of do it all on my own in the beginning. And like we were literally mixing like parsley with like raw garlic and dried garlic and stuff in jars. And, you know, I've gone through multiple like distributors and suppliers and fulfillment centers and things like that. And just learning the business is so it's like such a crash course and masterclass on just consumer packaged goods and the salt world in general. And just like e-commerce and everything like that is, I mean, I'm not really necessarily like an operations guy at all. I finally outsourced it to somebody who is, but we had some very major screw ups in the beginning. I feel really bad about this, but we sold way more than we thought we were going to during Black Friday. And we couldn't figure out how to turn on the sold out thing on Shopify. So we were out of product, but we were still selling. So a bunch of stuff got to people really late. So if you're listening to this and your salt got there a couple of weeks late, I'm so sorry.
I feel like salt can get a bad rap when you're talking about sodium and that kind of thing. How do you convince people not to be shy with salt in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say if you want your food to taste good, then you can't be shy with salt, right? First and foremost. I think that should be a secondary worry. Maybe if you want to watch what you're eating for a couple meals a day and then make something incredible for dinner or something like that, then you can be shy in your meals that are just for sustenance and then try to appreciate one meal and salt the hell out of it.
Couldn't agree more. And I know you created a pesto chili egg on Crack an Egg With for Food Network. And in that video talked about, you know, loving food from the moment you tasted your first piece of salami. Were there any Food Network shows that you grew up watching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, several. Man vs. Food, big fan of that. Triple D, obviously. Beat Bobby Flay was probably, I think, definitely my favorite. Has always been kind of my favorite. We used to watch that in college all the time. And that's actually another show I got a ton of inspiration. I mean, it's such a good show to just go watch in one episode. You get to watch like six different meals get made. So great place if you're kind of in a creative rut yourself looking for some inspiration. Go watch Beat Bobby Flay, and I'm sure there will be a meal or two on there that you can maybe like recreate yourself. But yeah, I mean, everything on Food Network obviously is incredible. So
I mean, speaking of Bobby Flay, I feel like your love for Calabrian chilies rivals his love for that pepper as well. If you were on an episode of Beat Bobby Flay, what challenge would you win or hope to? Like, what would you go in there with on an episode of Beat Bobby Flay?
That's such a tough question. I mean, he's literally the GOAT. But I have seen him be beat several times, so it happens. I might have to hit him with that banh mi, honestly. Like, I can't come at him from the, like, you know, Latin or Southwestern angle. He's obviously got that dialed. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, if I had a specialty, I would say it was that. So I think I'm going to go with, that banh mi dip that I mentioned before.
No, I think that would be an interesting one to watch, because I think for both of you, it wouldn't necessarily be, you know, a traditional banh mi. Yeah. It would be like your take on a banh mi. It's not like, you know, it was like a traditional, you know, Vietnamese chef or something like that doing it. So I think that would be definitely an interesting battle to watch for sure. What about Chopped? If you could create a Chopped basket, what would be inside for the for the competitors?
I think I do pretty well with like weird meat. I think I'd have a competitive edge if there was like a whole duck or something in there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like a leg of lamb or something like that, that like people would be like, what do I do here? I could figure something else out with something like that, that I think might give me an edge on other people. But a whole basket, I don't know. I like mushrooms, weird meat. There's always like some like curveball in there, like mm-hmm. brown sugar or something. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go on the show and find out, I guess. But yeah. I saw a bunch of TikTokers had their own Chopped episode recently. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I was so proud to watch that. As Golden Balance won. Yeah. My guy I mentioned earlier. Yeah, he kicked ass. That was sick.
No, it was a fun episode to watch for sure.
That's nerve wracking for those guys. I mean, for me, it would be just like having the actual, I didn't mean to incorporate the word chops in here, but having the chops to be able to go on that show without like technical, you know, a ton of technical experience and make something mm-hmm. out of, and it is all real. They came back and I talked to them about it. They were like, yeah, no, this is all legit. Like, none of it's faked. We had no clue what we were getting beforehand. And the time limit is like, you are, you know, deadlocked into that 30 minutes or however long it is. And it's like, wow. That's crazy. You'd think the production would give you like a little bit of a hint or something beforehand. So that's terrifying. I mean, it's nerve-wracking.
No, it's what makes it good, right? Like, I feel like I've co-hosted on Beat Bobby Flay a few times and I get the same, like, similar questions. Like, is it rigged? Like, why does he always win? Like, does he know the secret ingredient? I'm like, no, he doesn't know. Like, he's just really good.
Yeah, I've heard that. People have told me he'll, like, bang out 4 episodes in a day having no idea what's coming. It's just like, it's crazy. He's a machine. I mean, that's why he is who he is. It makes sense.
I think that's a perfect way to describe him for sure. Well, this has been so much fun getting to chat and hear your story. We're going to finish things off with a few rapid fire questions, and then we have one final question for you. So rapid fire round, your favorite TikTok follow?
Oh, Tariq Kitchen.
Last thing in your notes app.
Calabrian chili aioli. Wow, that couldn't have been more.
Wow.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, well, mic drop there. No, we still have a couple more. That's incredible, though. Most used phrase.
God, it's not even, it's so boring, but I say that's pretty good in like almost every single video. It's the only thing I could think of to say when I'm eating the sandwich. I'm like, that's so good. But I don't want to be like, it's so good, because that's what everyone says. I'm like, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I got to think of a better one than that, though, if I'm going to make merch about it.
What's the last plane ticket that you booked?
Miami. I just got back from South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
Oh, yes, true.
Which was incredibly fun. Got to meet some Food Network legends out there, actually. Very cool. Got to cook on stage with Guy Fieri.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, what a ridiculous
Tell us about
rush.
That. Okay, I know this is rapid fire, but now I need to know more about the Guy cooking demo. How did that come about?
It was crazy. I mean, so we had like FoodieCon, which was like a little sister event to South Beach Wine and Food, and they had me and Owen doing a sandwich on stage, which is like pretty classic. And they were like, by the way, if you want to have a moderator come on, let us know you'd like. And obviously we were going to like shoot for the stars. Never thought we would get Guy, but we were like, oh, Guy Fieri. Like, that'd be great if we could get Guy. And then like a week before, they were like, oh, he's down. Like, you're doing it with Guy. I was like, what the hell? Oh my God. Like, holy crap. And so we were freaking out. I was incredibly nervous. His son went to my high school, Hunter. So I went to high school with Hunter. That's years funny. Ago. I had met Guy. So we had a little bit of common ground going into it. But yeah, me and Owen went on stage with Guy and made some Cubanos. And it was great. I mean, he's such a pro and so natural, like on stage, and such like a leader in those situations, that he made it easy. He was just asking us questions, kind of rapid fire like this the whole time. He's just like firing off about Cubanos and how to just pick ingredients and just little details and stuff. And he's such an entertainer that he made it really easy. Obviously such an honor to like be able to be even like in the same room as him. So that was one of the, I think probably actually the coolest experience that's come from all of this entire thing was cooking with Guy. That was really, 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 really incredible.
That's awesome. I'm so glad we got to hear about that. All right. Tool you can't live without in the kitchen.
I mean, chef's knife, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be chef's knife. I've been using my mandolin a lot lately. Yeah. Chef's knife. I'm going with that.
Most underrated pantry staple.
Ooh, Creole seasoning. I'd say Creole or just Cajun seasoning, like Tony Shaheri's or Slap Your Mama or Old Bay or something like that, I think is so clutch in specific moments. If you just want to make like a chicken breast or any type of simple dish and need to make it taste good in 2 seconds, that is the easiest way to do it. Literally that with butter and garlic and lemon. And it's like, oh my God, you just impressed everyone there. So definitely one of those, I think, any type of Cajun seasoning.
Love that. Sauce everyone has to try once, or maybe sauce that everybody has to learn.
Chimichurri. Gotta be chimichurri. Yeah, absolutely. It's my go-to for anything. It's good on everything. And I literally could just eat it like cereal, spoon-feed it in my mouth. I'm obsessed with chimichurri. I could eat that all day. And it's so easy to make, so...
Yeah,
definitely that one.
I love a good chimichurri. All right. Our final question is not rapid fire, so you can take as long as you want on this one. We ask everybody the same question. Obviously, we get completely different answers for everybody. So what is on the menu for your perfect food day? So like take us through the whole day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. There are no rules. So you can time travel, spend as much money as you want, be served by any chef. Wow. You know, it's your day. Just take us through the ideal meals for Salt Hank.
Okay. Oh my gosh. All right. This might take a second.
That's okay.
All right. Starting the day. This is like a Saturday.
Okay.
But michelada in the morning has been like my go-to thing. I love a michelada in the morning. So that corned beef hash is my favorite breakfast. So like a really well done corned beef hash. So that for breakfast, a michelada, a corned beef hash. Mm-hmm. Boom. Done. Sourdough toast. Amazing. Tons of salt, hot sauce, all that. For lunch, French dip. Again, I'm definitely going French dip. Like a big old prime rib roast. Really nice caramelized onions with like red wine and cooked down with some Worcestershire sauce and like an au jus with some bouillon in it. So it's really flavorful and salty and briny. Oh, yeah. That's love that. And definitely want to seal the day off with like a tasting menu. I think I'd just let Thomas Keller like come to my house and make me French Laundry.
Yeah. For the end of the day. It's your day. Like, I said, there's no rules. So I think
there's no rules. Yeah. He's hanging out at my house for 4 hours and making me a full 12 to 13 like course French Laundry tasting menu. that's dinner.
All right. Well, do you have a garden though? Where's he going to source all of his food?
Yeah, I'll let him figure that out. I'm sure.
I guess so.
Or I'll go to Napa. I'm cool with that too.
Well, I mean, that works too. Are you having dessert or not a dessert guy?
I'm having dessert if Thomas Keller's cooking it.
True.
But typically probably not. But if, you know, it's him. So
I'm sure it'll be fabulous for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. That sounds like a perfect food day, a perfect Salt Hank food day. And it's been so much fun just to watch your meteoric rise on the internet and continued success, and looking forward to seeing your highlights from Oaxaca as well.
Thank you so much, Jamie. This was an absolute blast. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
You You can watch Henry's episode of Crack an Egg With on foodnetwork.com and make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.